guest today is Josh Harrison. Josh, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What are you doing?
I'm a software developer for a consulting firm called Improving Enterprises. We're based in Dallas, Houston, College Station, and Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing some work with Azure?
Yes, right? I am.
And in particular with access control services.
Yes.
Azure, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about that. I've been working on ACS a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm still kind of a newbie at it.
Sure. So one of the reasons I think it's very interesting is right now identity is very painful on the web. So a statistic I like to give is the average user has 25 usernames and passwords. So
one from Facebook and one from my email.
Right.
One from Twitter.
And so that's not even true. They have 25 usernames, but they're usually using the same password across sites. So it's a pain and it's also insecure.
Right.
So there's this idea out there called claims-based identity. And it's a way of almost having like a driver's license for one set of credentials for different websites. And that's the role that Azure ACS is filling. So,
What's a claim?
Yeah, so a claim is something you state about yourself or something that someone else states about you.
Nice.
So a good example of a claim is imagine a driver's license. There could be a claim of your age. So that would be important for things like buying alcohol or tobacco or
right. Anything
where you need to be over 18 or 21. So that's one example of a claim. Another claim could be gender or maybe an email address, any piece of information about you that an identity provider is saying. And what do I mean by identity provider? Google, Facebook, it could really be anyone.
Sure, or the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Exactly, yeah, in that scenario, correct, yeah.
And so how does that fit into the web and ACS and that technology?
So what ACS ends up doing is it knows how to talk to a number of different identity providers. In this case, it's more technology vendors like Microsoft, Google, Facebook. These identity providers are good at authenticating people and collecting data on people. They've been doing it for years. They're probably a lot better than we are when we write individual applications. ACS knows how to talk to these identity providers through open protocols. ACS also knows how to talk to your local application. So it sort of acts as a middleman between the identity providers and your local application so that your local application doesn't have to handle usernames and passwords.
Okay.
Instead, it accepts a claim or a token.
Okay, walk me through that flow.
Sure. So let's say you go to a website.
Okay.
You haven't authenticated yet. The website says, okay, this person isn't authenticated. Instead of doing it myself, I'm going to redirect you to Azure ACS.
Mm-hmm.
Azure ACS then, once you're there, it lets you pick which identity provider do you want.
And that could be the Google or...
Google, and you can configure it to only be one, you can configure it to be multiple.
All right.
You have some options there. It then collects your username and password, sends it over to an identity provider. Assuming it's the correct username and password, the identity provider sends back a token or a claim about the user.
Okay, so as you say, it collects it, it displays an HTML form, it submits it.
Yes.
Grabs that and says, okay.
Assuming you want multiple identity providers, you can set it up so that you want Google. So in that case, you can bypass the form completely.
All right.
So that's a little bit more seamless for the user.
Yep. Says that, and then the identity provider sends back what?
It sends back a token.
A token is, what's that?
So a token is kind of an open standard for making claims about someone. So the token could have a user ID that's unique to the identity provider. It could have an email address. It could have a name. It could be a claim that we know this user is over the age of 18.
Okay, so a token is just a container for claims.
Yeah, for information about the user.
And they're all sent over HTTP.
Correct.
Along with the response.
Correct.
So now you're back at ACS.
Right. So now
the application know about it.
So now that ACS has it, it can send it back to the application in a number of different open formats. There's SWAT tokens, OpenID. There's a number of different types of tokens that it can send back. So you could parse that manually, right? It's all just in the URL, so you could take that token and parse it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could use a framework like Windows Identity Framework, which makes your life a lot easier because it does the parsing for you.
Okay.
And so what that does is it takes the token, parses it, and then puts that information in like a principle, which is a common .NET object for doing...
Okay, principle represents the currently logged in user.
Exactly, yeah. So it'll put that information in there so that you can just use it directly from your .NET application.
Okay, so the principle will have those claims about the user.
Exactly, yeah.
And then your code could read those claims and say, well, you have to be 18 to...
Right.
At least 18. Is that...
Exactly.
Claim show that he's over 18.
Exactly.
If not, you know, throw the bone out.
Right. So what's important in that for that to work is you need, there's really two key principles. There's trust. You have to trust. So in the example of the driver's license, if you're at a Quickie Mart, that Quickie Mart has to trust state of Ohio or state of New York, or whoever's issuing that license, that they know that that person's over the age of 18 or that they can verify that's actually that person.
Right.
In the case of the internet, your application has to trust someone else. Either Google, Facebook.
You can't trust Google. Who can
trust? So Microsoft, you have to trust someone to make a claim.
Okay.
So the second one is delegation. You have to, and this is what makes it nice for developers like us, is we don't have to do the work. We don't have the responsibility of doing the password resets, of judging the complexity of a password, whether it's strong enough. You let someone else deal with that.
Okay.
So because you trust them, you feel comfortable delegating the work to them.
Okay. Do they have to know anything about us? Does Google have to know about my application
anymore? No, not at all. ACS does.
Okay.
Because when you set up an ACS account, you don't want everyone on the internet using your ACS instance to authenticate against. So it's kind of like a whitelist. It says, accept this URL.
And those are the relying parties.
Right, okay. Exactly. That's known as a relying party. It relies on someone else to do the work for you. So so Google doesn't know that my application is, it knows that ACS is trying to talk to it. It doesn't know that I have applications behind ACS that it's going to be given to.
Okay. And so Google is just basically set up to understand what ACS is sending them because we're using open standards. Is that what I'm...
That's correct,
that's the reason it works?
Yeah.
Okay. What about... you said a couple times that it's hard to create, to maintain your own list or your own login and your own authentication.
Sure.
And that's not entirely true. If you're using Visual Studio, there are providers in the templates.
Yeah.
Could do us for that. And if all I need is wasn't that provider, why wouldn't I just use the membership role provider sort of thing?
Let's see. That makes it a lot easier. Certainly.
Is there an advantage to going with ACS if I already have
Sure, absolutely. So it is much easier doing like a custom role provider or something like that. However, there's still risk there. You're still managing usernames and passwords. You're storing them.
Okay.
So if there's any sort of data compromise, so LinkedIn is a great example of that, right?
Right.
So a data compromise that affects millions of users, that could happen on your individual application as well.
Was LinkedIn an identity provider? Was exposed to?
I'm willing to bet they are now. Yeah, but this is
be a consumer. Now,
so this is what I think is interesting about it. It creates competition between identity providers, right? So there's no one provider.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different tech companies trying to prove that they're the best identity provider. So there's an incentive for them to not have data loss and to not have not be making claims that aren't true.
Okay.
So because of that competition, one would hope that they all get better at it.
Okay, so I think I have a good handle on this. ACS is delegating the authentication of the user out to some identity provider like Windows Live or Microsoft or Google or Yahoo or someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're receiving my application is receiving these tokens that contain claims,
mm-hmm.
and that's the authentication. Now, authentication is done, but I still have to authorize the user.
Right.
How does that work?
So you would handle that within your own application. So a place like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, they don't care whether your user has write access or read access to your individual application. So what you're going to do is they take care of the authentication.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to pass, in each of these tokens, there's a unique ID. And if you want to do authorization within your application, you would store that unique ID locally. Again, you're not storing a username and password. You're storing a unique ID. So there's very low risk there. And then you could start adding authorization type attributes to that user, like can this user get into the admin area? Can they have write access? So you would handle that internally in your application.
And it would be based on the claims that they have.
Right, so you could use something like a custom role provider to implement that.
Custom role provider.
Like ASP.NET custom role provider. You could use whatever mechanism you wanted to, but the real role of ACS is authentication, not authorization. You would handle authorization more in your own application.
Okay. And this is I know a lot of developers actually interchange those terms. They are very different things.
They're very different,
is who is this person? Authorization is can this person, once I've identified them, how are they allowed to access my application?
Exactly, yep.
Okay, there's a lot of what you describe that ACS does is also performed by ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services, mm-hmm. another Microsoft product.
Yep.
Are those two products related in any way?
There is integration between the two,
okay.
And quite honestly, you can use ADFS as an identity provider.
Oh, okay, so you can go out to Azure and tell it to go look back into
right.
your enterprise at ADFS.
Exactly, yeah, so you might not want to use one of these big vendors. You might want to use your own internal.
Would there be an advantage to that rather than just trusting ADFS directly?
Sure, so it's the same, it's single sign-on. So
okay.
you don't have to write custom code in each of your applications to talk to ADFS. You can write it once to talk to ACS and have it talk to ADFS or whatever other, if you have more than one provider,
we'll talk to ADFS. It can write that code for you, I think.
Okay, so that's still a one-to-one connection. You're not using a hub, right? So let's say you have ADFS and you want to add another identity provider.
There you go. Okay.
Or you want to add a second ADFS.
Okay.
Right? Maybe you want another firm that's maybe not your own firm. You want them to have access to your web application. You could use their ADFS.
Okay, fair enough. I was using it for ADFS for that in a recent project,
mm-hmm.
and what we did is we had a custom STS, a security token
okay.
service, that we had to write ourselves.
So you wrote your own, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That sat behind ADFS, and that would query ADLDS, Lightning Directory
yep.
Service, and therefore we had some users authenticate against AD, and some of them authenticated.
Right, so this is a way so that you don't have to do that.
Okay.
Right? So the cloud takes care of that for you. Right?
Less code,
Azure.
Less
exactly.
work for me, less time for me to
right.
have a conference.
One less moving part that might break.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
All right, fair enough. Anything else?
No, I think that covers it.
So this is a pretty new thing,
mm-hmm.
and where do I learn about this, and where do I sign up for it?
Yeah, so there's Azure today has a 90-day free trial of all Azure services. You get a certain allotment of hours.
Yep.
What's really great about ACS, they've lowered the price a number of different times. As of a few days ago, on December 4th, they announced that it would be free for as many transactions as you want. So that's much easier to lower a barrier to entry, I guess, for that.
Nice.
And so, yeah, just look up, go to Azure, type in Azure into any search engine. MSDN, if you have an MSDN subscription.
Actually, it's windowsazure.com, actually.
Yeah, right. Thank you. If you have an MSDN subscription, you automatically get a certain amount of hours every month.
Mm-hmm.
That's metered.
I'm exploring that right now.
Yeah, nice.
I just thought of another question. So if I'm using the Azure Access Control Services, do I need any other pieces of Azure? Can I just use that one piece of Azure?
Yes.
And nothing else?
That's correct, yeah. So you can sign up for the 90-day free trial. You have to sign up initially, right,
okay.
to be able to get into the portal.
Yep.
But after you're done with that, the transactions are still free.
Okay, and so the applications, they don't have to be an Azure Worker role or Azure Web role.
No, you can.
They don't
so one
be
of
using the Azure Storage. This could be the only piece of Azure.
Yeah, so one of the views is I think it's a very good entry into what I call like hybrid cloud applications.
Right.
So you can just use the identity, the ACS piece of Azure, and have everything else on-premise, right? So,
yeah, okay.
And I think it's, because it's such a pain point on the web, I think it's a good, it adds so much value initially that it can get people interested in other services that Azure offers.
That's that thin wedge that
yeah.
gets into an organization.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, great. Do you have an online presence?
I do. So my blog is joshrharrison.com. I'm also on Twitter on Josh_R_Harrison.
Okay, you only have 9 tweets now, so
yeah,
time
right.
goes out hopefully up. That's it. Thanks very much, Josh.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, David. Max Headroom is my favorite technology friend.